Okay, everything's working. Very good. And what we're going to do right now for the Sabbath, we're going to blow the trumpet. So, trumpeteers. And this is not a... This is not a commandment. It's just something they used to do in Acts, in Numbers chapter 10. Shabbat shalom. You know, maybe we should blow that outside. And if you read, now if you, now you might say, what are these guys doing with these little skinny silver horns? Well, the Bible, if you read the Bible, you go to Numbers chapter 10, they used to blow the trumpets, silver trumpets, to summon the congregation. And then they blew some other, the same trumpets in a different way and called the elders of the congregation. And then, of course, they blew the trumpets another way and for war, which that's all lost in time. But we know that it was a silver trumpet, not the shofar, because it actually says it's a silver piece. And that's what it looks like, a little skinny trumpet there. But anyway, we just do that in memorial just to give a little sense of possibility of what they used to do, calling the congregation. Well, we're one of Messiah congregation, Kahal HaBem Mashiach in Hebrew. We're just a little piece of the Israel of God around the world. And I'll wave to everybody online because they're looking at me right now. Adat Yisrael. And it's the Sabbath right there. Shabbat Shalom. So let's pray and ask God to bless and anoint this quick study today. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for another Shabbat. Before we pray, Father, we always come to you asking you to wash us in your blood of any sin, any blemish, any spot, anything that would separate us from a holy, living God. Bless and anoint this Sabbath today, Father. Bless and anoint everyone here, everyone on the internet, and everyone that would listen to this message in the future. I thank and praise you, Lord and God, for protecting our servers back there. They've been running for a long time. Heavenly Father, teach us something new. Take away anything that's corrupt out of our minds, hearts, and souls. And teach us, we only want the truth, Father. Bless and anoint this Sabbath. Pray you send down the healing upon our sister, Louise. Give her a swift healing so that you could bring her here. And bless our ad coming out, Father. And we know there's so many people that are hungering for the truth, Lord and God, and we want to share with them what you have taught us. Heavenly Father, bless and anoint this Shabbat in Yeshua's name, and may God bless you and keep you and help you in every endeavor and lead, guide, and direct you in everything you do in Yeshua's name. Amen. Shabbat Shalom. Well, today is April 2nd, and I'm really happy we missed yesterday. Because that was a weird day, April Fools. And we know what the Bible says about fools. Anyway, the name April we use very easily, but April comes from Aphrodite. And if you look that up on the net, or look it up anywhere in history, Aphrodite is the Greek goddess of love and beauty. Not in the Bible, right? She's identified with the Roman goddess Venus. But we say April like it's no big deal. Like, hey, it's April. And we're not going to change the Gregorian calendar created by Pope Gregory in the 1500s, okay? We all use, unfortunately, the Catholic calendar, whether you know it or not. However, we bring into focus God's calendar that's been erased. Most people never heard of it. We're in a leap year now. We're in the 12th, second Adar, and it's the 23rd day. Matter of fact, next Friday night is God's New Year. And it's so beautiful that, you know, God's New Year is in the spring when everything comes back to life. Everything's new again. Everything grows again. You feel better. Pope Gregory's got us do a New Year in December when everything's dead and frozen. Which one sounds like a New Year? And how do you prove that? Well, you have to go to the scripture, right? And you read the Bible. We can show you other verses where God's New Year starts. But anyway, here it is right here. And this is it in Hebrew, Chodesh Adar. And the word Adar means glorious. So we're in the second Adar, the 12th month, 23rd day. The 13th month now, right? If you want to look at it like that. I always say second Adar. My ministry is a teaching ministry. I feel like I've been teaching for a long time now. I'm going to be 62 this April. And I try to bring up topics and subjects that have maybe never been discussed in your life. Maybe you don't even know about them. And some people don't even have a clue about them. So I try to undelete them for you. I try to bring the truth at it. But I want you not only to disbelieve me, I want you, after I tell you something, do your due diligence and verify things. Because people nowadays are just falling for what anyone says. And when I go to listen to someone, I take notes and then I try to verify it with the scriptures, the Bible. But you have to make sure you have the right Bible. That's real important. That's another whole story. If you missed me in the last 15 years, my website's still running. You can go to oneofmessiah.net. If you like to read, you can click on this one. If you like to just listen, you could click on this link. And if you like to watch and hear, you could click on that one. So it depends what you like to do. You could sit in your own house in the privacy of your own home and take notes. You could stop the video and listen and jot things down and say, wait a minute, where does it say that? And check it out. I want everyone to, I always tell people, if you think I'm saying something incorrect or something wrong, email me, call me, let me know, because I'd like to correct it if it's wrong, because I have nothing to win. I have nothing to gain. Everything we do is free. It's no advantage to me. My only thrust is to get the truth out. And that's what I've been doing. I'm also a minister of the Criminal Justice Center in Franklin. So I like doing everything in a legal way, an honest way, in other words, try to do everything correctly. So I like doing that. Anyway, you could nowadays, all the young people download stuff to their MP3 players, or anybody does that. So I even made a link for that. I'm a computer person, so I like using all the computer knowledge to help people out. I tried all the Facebook and all that stuff. That was a waste of time. So I stopped that. That was just didn't really do anything. I'm streaming live right now on this link right here. If you have on your computer, if you have Real Player, wherever you are in the world, you could actually see me right now. And if you'd like me to ever come to your congregation or your group of people and go over different things, I'd be glad to come. Just call me. Or just click on this link, or I'll just come for free. You don't have to, there's nothing you have to pay me or anything. I come there and just help out. I explain the Sabbath each week, now during the holy days that are coming. There's only three feasts. I know Messianics teach seven feasts, but there's only three feasts of God. The rest of them are called holy days. There are Mikra Kodesh, the holy convocations, and their sacred assemblies, public meetings. Sabbath is very simple. In Exodus 20, you notice it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I have 6 days to do all my labor and do all my work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yehovah, my God, Jehovah. We took out the word capital L, capital O, and capital R, and capital D only because in the actual Hebrew, it says Yehovah, or in English, Jehovah. For some reason, they didn't want to, they left out his name there, but we put it back in. It says, in it, you're not supposed to do any work. Who? You, your son, your daughter. If you have any people doing landscaping today, stop them. Your men servant, your maid servant, anyone within your gates, wherever you dwell. Today, wherever you live, everyone's supposed to be keeping the Sabbath, or I would just leave for the day and come back when it's over, because otherwise you'd be breaking the Sabbath, because it says with everyone within your gates. 6 days Jehovah made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and he rested the seventh day. Wherefore Jehovah blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. That's pretty straightforward. In the book of Leviticus, we have same thing. 6 days shall work be done. In the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest. It's a Shabbat Shabbaton. It's a holy convocation, a Mikra Kodesh. What that means is, some people think the Sabbath is you stay home and go to bed. No, the Sabbath is the same thing we do like Yeshua did and like Apostle Paul, Shaul. They all went to the synagogue on the Sabbath and they studied. You have 1 day to try to get it straight, because you got 6 days to go out and try to help people or go to work or do something. But you got that one day to, it's rest in God. It isn't go take a nap. Some people got that wrong. But if you read the Gospels and the letters, you'll see. No work shall be done, and this is in all your dwellings. So you wouldn't catch us today in a place where there's people breaking the Sabbath. I mean, if somebody came to the door and said, hey, come and help me dig a hole, or I'd say, forget that. I'll be there tomorrow. I'll be glad to help you tomorrow, but not today. Come on in and let's have a spiritual sandwich. The book of Isaiah makes it very clear. He said, his name is Yeshayahu in Hebrew. He's a prophet, Navi. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure, God says, on my holy day, and you call the Sabbath a delight, it's the holy of Jehovah, honorable, and you honor him. How do you do that? Not doing your own ways. See how simple God talks? Not finding your own pleasure today. Not speaking your own words. Now, speaking your own words would entail means like, on the Sabbath, we talk only about God and godly things and things connected with God. I'm not going to tell you about today my farm and my car or my, I'm not going to waste any breath on anything that's not of God. Because God says you're not supposed to speak your own words today. And what happens if you do that? Then shalt thou delight thyself in Jehovah, and I'll cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Yaakov, Jacob, thy father. Who said that? The mouth of Jehovah spoke it. Heritage of Jacob is Jacob knew all about the Torah and the commandments and the ordinances. Just like if you fast forward to the book of Luke, Zechariah and Elizabeth were perfect in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord, right? People read that, but they don't, it's over. Now, here's another thing that's very important. Nehemiah 13, it shows buying and selling today is evil. You may not think of that, but if you look through God's eyes, not through our eyes, you'll see what God means. There was men dwelling at Tyre also therein who they brought fish and all manner of ware, and they actually sold on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah, because the children of Judah at this point had fallen away from the God of Israel in Jerusalem. And Nehemiah, who's there, he's a godly man. He says he contended with the nobles of Judah, and he said unto them, what evil thing is this that you do when you profane the Sabbath day? And then you have to read the whole chapter, you know, Nehemiah chapter 13. You can read that yourself. But today, buying and selling is, through God's eyes, is evil. There's a couple of ways you could learn things if we use our own judgments, things might go wrong. But if we use God's judgment, things will go correct. And then there's another way you could look at things. If you ask a question today and you use your reasoning power, but then if you say, wait a minute, I have a little extra gas, let's get in my little time machine and go back to the time of Moses and ask the same question, you'll get a totally different answer. So if you learn those two little scenarios, and then I always tell people, if you want to know if something's right or wrong, would you be doing it if the Lord was coming back to earth right now? That would probably stop a lot of people. Or would you be doing it if you knew the breath was going to go out of you and you're going to meet God? Whew. You're still going to meet the Lord no matter who you are, no matter whoever you think you are. Matter of fact, if you believe it or not, you're still going to meet the Lord, whether you like it or not. Except you're going to meet the God in the Bible, not the one that the churches made up. They made up the Easter Bunny God. As a matter of fact, they just did Easter, right? On March 27th. That's supposedly the resurrection of Yeshua from the dead. But next month, they have in April, Passover when he dies. So how could they have him raising from the dead a month before he rises? This is a good year to save the calendar and show your Protestant friends.
Raising from the dead a month before he dies.
Yeah, I just said that. You understand that? In other words, they just had Easter, and they even threw away the Lord. Or they had like people on the internet fighting about Easter eggs and Easter hunts. Did you see that? That was on the news. People were fighting over the Easter eggs. They were throwing the kids in the mud. The parents were grabbing the eggs. And I thought, first of all, it's supposed how Satan always says, oh, it's just for the children. Well, wait a minute. Why are you telling children lies? It's the resurrection of our Messiah from the dead. But that's another whole story. It makes me sad. And then next, this is a good, save your calendar this year, because you could show your Protestant friends that how could they do the resurrection in March and then in April he's going to die? It's a good time to see the Gregorian calendar is really wrong. But that's another, you know, but some people, I tell them that and they just don't care. But anyway, matter of fact, most stuff I tell people, they just look at me and go, okay, I'll see you next time. Today's topic I wanted to talk about, the last 2 weeks I talked about the feast coming and the holy days. And I could explain the dates and everything and what they really are. When we do the Passover, we actually do the Passover in memorial. And memorial is totally different than the actual Passover, of course. We have the understanding Yeshua is our Passover, okay? And guess what we have? We really have roasted lamb, bitter herbs, and unleavened bread. We don't have a gourmet dinner, and we don't... I've seen on the internet, how much were they charging? People are charging $40 or $50 for a Passover. And $20 for the kids. Now, I raise my hand as a little kid, a child, and I say, where does it say that in the word? That cold OD, one of those groups. They got the wrong dates and they got the wrong everything. And last week I did all the things you're not supposed to do at a Passover Seder, which they all do. And unfortunately, the Judaism has bled over to the Messianics, and the Messianics now are bleeding over to the Protestant ministers. And if I could just intersect someone and help them and say, stop following the errors and follow God. But anyway, my topic today, I wanted to talk a little bit about whatever it takes in your life, endure, please. Brother James says, take my brother and the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and patience. Behold, we count them happy which endured. And I do too, all the people that came before us. I'm sure you guys all heard of the patience of Job, right? And we've definitely seen the end of the Lord. I mean, he actually gave his life for us. He's very pitiful and of tender mercy. And in the Gospel of Matthew says, Yeshua says, you're going to be hated of all men for my name's sake. And we don't look forward to that, but some people really don't like us that we keep the Sabbath. I've really learned that. I've seen people actually foam at the mouth and get really mad at us. Just because we say, I just brought up the word Sabbath, they get, ugh. They say, you're legalistic. And I say, well, why is only commandment 4 legalistic? How come commandment 5 isn't legalistic? Or commandment 7? But you got to endure until the end to be saved. Okay? He that endures to the end shall be saved. For real. Because there's a lot of people who think they were saved, but if they die with sin on their soul, you lose. Because how much sin is going to heaven? Yeah. Satan knows that. Yeshua is coming back for a church without spot or blemish. You ever read that verse? So if I can get a spot on you back here where you can't see it, he's got everyone breaking the fourth commandment right now. All the people that think they love the Lord. Now, if you die with sin on your soul, that's not good. That's why we're trying to bring the remedy, the assistance, to get people to snap out of the spiritual delusion they're in. I want you to be like Messiah, who's like charity. You ever read that chapter, 1 Corinthians 13? I'm going to exchange the word charity for Messiah. Now listen how it sounds. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity or Messiah, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so I could remove mountains and have not charity or Messiah, I am nothing. So some people think they can just go keep all the commandments and don't even believe in Yeshua. You still lose, because Yeshua is the Word of God made flesh, and if you don't have his atoning blood applied to your soul, you're finished. That's real important. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not Messiah, it profits me nothing. Charity. And think of this. Messiah suffered long. He sure did. Charity suffered long and is kind. Charity, Messiah envies not. Messiah vaunts not himself and is not puffed up. Doth not behave himself unseemly, seeks not her own, and is not easily provoked. Thinks no evil. Messiah, or charity, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Messiah, or charity, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endures all things. Charity, or Messiah, never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they are going to fail. And whether there be tongues, they shall cease. And whether there be knowledge, it's going to vanish away. And now abides faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity, or Messiah. Amen. So if you could be like Messiah, you'll have all the charity you'll ever need, because charity is giving of yourself in love to someone. And love isn't just kisses and hugs. Love is teaching someone the truth. You care about their soul, because they're going to spend eternity somewhere. And that's, you couldn't show any more love than tell someone the truth. That's real love. Because we're only one little breath away from eternity. Anyone. You don't have to be young. You don't have to be old. You don't have to be sick. You could be healthy. When God says time is up, you meet the Lord. Right? Even as I'm talking right now, I can't even blink my eyes fast enough. People are going to meet the Lord right now all around the world. Some people don't endure, of course, like it says in the book of Gospel of Mark. The sower went out to sow, and there are some that fell on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Some people just, oh man, they can't wait to do that. Some people just even hear about the Sabbath, and they get all excited. But they have no root in themselves, and they endure for just a little while. For a time, afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, they are offended. So, and you can use that with anything. I've seen a lot that happen over the many years I've been doing this. Unfortunately, even before I did this for 15 years, I was a Protestant minister in the Assemblies of God, like Assembly of God or Pentecostal kind of church. I was an ordained minister for 17 years, and I went back to my Jewish roots, and I shed all that, and I thought, gosh, Pentecostals don't even keep Pentecost, and they don't even know what it is. It's Chag Shavuot, Feast of Weeks, which is a Sabbath on Sunday. That's the only time Sunday, I think, is a Sabbath. So there's two Sabbaths in a row, from Friday night to Sunday night. There's two Sabbaths in a row. To us, that's exciting. To other people, they go, oh, no, how could that be? Here's a letter by, his name is Shaul, Saul. The the Christian people turned his name into Paul. But anyway, he wrote to the Thessalonians, which is in Thessalonica, which is in Asia Minor. Okay, it doesn't exist anymore. But here's what he said, the letter we have. It says, Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus, or Timotheus, unto the churches of the Thessalonians in God, our Father, and the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. They always had such a nice introduction when their letters. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that the faith, your faith grows exceedingly, and that the charity of every one of you toward each other abounds. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. You know, nothing shakes us. We've been, I actually got kicked out of the synagogue because I was showing the rabbi scriptures, and the people, they liked it, but the people, this was in Nashville. I guess somebody reported and they called up from New York and they said, get that guy out of there. Because I was, the rabbis didn't know what they were talking about. And I said, well, let's read the Hebrew. I can read Hebrew too. Let's read it. And they couldn't decide if there was supposed to be a homosexual rabbi.
Right.
And I said, you can't decide that? First of all, you're not supposed to be a rabbi, number one. And a homosexual one, really, no. And the Orthodox guy couldn't figure that out. And the Reform rabbi couldn't figure it out. And me. I said, well, how come I'm the only one that can read the Hebrew? And it says, you're not supposed to do that. And then they ended up, they kicked me out of the synagogue. And I thought, I don't want to be there anyway, but I mean, I just went there to help. I noticed some Christians were being drawn to the Judaism because they wanted to learn, they thought that's where they learned the Jewish roots. And they were being tricked into Judaism. So I was trying to get some people out of there. That happened in Nashville a few years ago. I'll go back one day because I'm sure they changed the changing of the guard there. I'm sure I can. Anyway, so we try to endure everything. I endure everything. We try our best, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. Paul writes to Timothy a letter, and he says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Messiah Yeshua, and the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. And that's what it's all about. So I hope that what I've been taught and what I've researched and it can prove, I could pass it on to someone else, then you could verify it, learn it, and pass it on to someone else. And it's like a dominoes. I just hope we can reach some people. We're all new here in the Hole in Wall, Tennessee, so we're going to see what happens. I met a lot of messianics around here that they say they keep the Sabbath, but they don't like Apostle Paul. Did you ever meet some of those people? They hate Apostle Paul. And I thought, well, that's funny. He wrote 2/3 of the letters. You'd have to throw all those away. And all the letters that were found. All I could say is if you don't read the letters and the Gospels with a Torah mindset, you won't even understand the letters and the Gospels. If you don't have a Torah mindset, you'll be reading the wrong thing. So it's very important to have Jewish eyeglasses and try to read it and understand it. You're supposed to endure hardness as a good soldier of Yeshua the Messiah. No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. Whether you know it or not, you're in an army, and you're in a spiritual war. I'm sure sometimes you could feel it, even though it looks like a very nice sunny day out there. But there's a spiritual battle going on. Satan does not want you to know the truth, and he's taken away God's Sabbath. He's taken away the calendar of God. He's taken away God's feast. He's deleted what you're supposed to eat and not eat. He's deleted so many different things I can go through that you'd be shocked. It's almost like someone painted you in a picture called your life. But you have to learn how to jump out of that picture frame and say, wait a minute, where does it say that in the Word? That's really important to say that little sentence. I know it sounds like a child, but it stumps the scholars. Anyway, if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except you strive lawfully. I thought there was no law. Really? You got to strive lawfully. You know, I'll give you a simple little thing John said in one of his letters. What is sin? Sin is the transgression of the law. Well, I thought there was no law. Sin is the transgression of the law. So if you're breaking any one of the commandments or any one of the things during the feast, that's called sin, whether you know it or not. Now, you could be doing stuff ignorant, and that's when you were in the Bible, they were allowed to bring a sacrifice. In the Torah, when you sin presumptuous or willfully or knowingly, you were stoned to death because you knew. But if you, I realize there's a lot of people sinning ignorantly because they just don't know what they're just brainwashed by their fake religions they went to. You have to shed that and join the Israel of God and make a covenant with the God of Israel. Very important. It's a covenant is a, what I do is just make a covenant with God. That's really important. You know, nowadays, if you're speeding and the police pull you over, you can't tell the policeman, hey, that's legalistic. He'll say, get out and put your hands against the car, right? So how much more God? How much more God? God is legalistic. He's got lots of laws for you to abide. And he's a merciful God. I mean, his laws are not grievous. I mean, I don't want to steal. I don't want to lie. I don't want to cheat. I don't want to commit adultery. I don't want to, you know what I mean? Like, if you're a person of God, you don't want to do these things. The husband that labors must be first partaker of the fruits. So before I tell anyone anything, I have to make sure I'm doing it first. Consider what he said and consider what I'm saying, and the Lord will give you understanding in all things. Remember that Yeshua, the Messiah of the seed of David, which is proved by Psalms, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, they put him in jail. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake. Amen. You know, and we're not looking for crowds. I don't even care if it stays with the whatever, how many we got, because we got more than us. But I mean, we just want people that love truth and want to shed anything that's not of God. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they also may obtain salvation, which is in Messiah Yeshua, unto eternal glory. It's a faithful saying, if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we also shall reign with him. If you deny him, he'll deny you. He's very simple. Matter of fact, I was listening to that this morning in the book of Chronicles, where Asa came to the king and he said, very simple. I mean, God speaks so simple to us because he knows we're just the dirt of the ground. And he says, I'm with you if you're with me. If you seek me, you'll find me. If you forsake me, I'll forsake you. But Satan made up that doctrine, once saved, always saved. You could do anything you want and you're always saved. Where does it say that in the Bible? I mean, if God destroyed his own chosen people, what do you think he's going to do to a bunch of Gentiles that break his commandments? Huh. Anyway, Paul tells Timothy, watch in all things. Endure afflictions. Every one of you, do the work of an evangelist and make full proof of your ministry. In other words, prove what you think you believe. Don't just believe it. It might sound nice and feel nice, but as remember, Satan comes as an angel of light. Satan never shows up with the red jumpsuit on and the horns because you go, I recognize you, right? Satan comes as, unfortunately, a lot of these people tomorrow on Sunday, and they call it Sunday because they used to worship the sun a long time ago, just that they don't know that. It was really Sunday. There's no Sundays in the Bible. It's Yom Rishon, the first day of the week. But they later on, when they used to worship the sun, they call it Sunday. Yeah, they don't know that. They need to read Ezekiel. They turn their backs and they worship the sun. Anyway, In the book of Hebrews, it says, don't be slothful, but be followers of them who through faith and patience we inherit the promises. For God, when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, obviously, God doesn't need anyone to vouch for him. He swore by himself. God says, surely, blessing, I will bless you and multiply you. I will multiply you. And multiplying, I will multiply thee. So after that, he had patiently endured Abraham. He obtained the promise. Many people endured through faith. There's many people that endured. It's all about faith, you know. Faith is real important. And faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, you couldn't go to court with that because it's evidence of things not seen. It's faith. You can't see faith, right? But by it, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. And I do a lot of teaching in the science world. I like doing that. And I like coming against evolution. And it's very sad that the atheists are winning the show here in the universities. But it says right here, the things that which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In other words, if you ever read Genesis, the first 4 days that God made, there was no sun and moon, but there was still an evening and the morning. You ever read that? There's an evening and a morning, but there was no sun and moon. But God made light without the sun. So there's something called light that we're not even aware of. But then God made these things called the sun and the moon. So in other words, the things that are not seen are now, to us people, they're easy to see by the things that are made. That's really important to understand. The invisible things of him from the beginning of the world are clearly seen now by the things that he made. Now we understand, oh, that's light. But there was light before there was a sun. And there was darkness before, I don't even know how that happened, because it's supernatural. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead, of course, Abel's blood, you know, he heard it from the ground. Remember that? By faith, Enoch. Now, this is a person I want to meet one day because I want to know exactly what happened. He was translated that he should not see death and was not found. Just think, at that night, his wife was probably saying, Enoch, where are you? I mean, he wasn't there because before his translation, he had a testimony that he pleased God. God translated. He just took him. You ever read that? He's the seventh from Adam. Seven is an important number. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. If you come to God, and I'm talking about the God of Israel, not just any God, you must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of anyone that diligently seeks him. So if you really ask God for the truth, he'll show you the truth. And then you have to figure out what you're going to do with it. Most people, I always say, you have to learn how to assimilate it into your life. You have to learn how to... It's going to feel a little different because it's going to be, today's a whole Sabbath from Friday night to Saturday night. To us, it's just a delight, but to some people, they go, a whole day with God? How could that be? I want to go to the ball game or watch TV or go home, go shopping. I say, I got 6 days for that. I mean, if you ever read Isaiah, even if there's a new heavens and a new earth, there's still going to be a Sabbath. Sabbath's not going anywhere. The Shabbat is very important, and we can have a Sabbath study one day, and I'll show you different things about it. It's very super. Sabbath is a sign between God and his people. So it's almost like God sees us today, and I know he's very aware that we're here, and I thank God for that. Here's a person I want to meet, Noah. Don't you want to meet Noah? He preached for 100 years, it says, in a place where it never rained. Just think, he was building a boat in the desert. They must have thought he flipped out. He was telling them there's going to be a flood that's going to drown you people. Repent and get on the ark. And the ark is a picture of Messiah, because that's the only means of salvation. Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, he moved with fear. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. And he became the heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And what's important about Noah is really important. Even in the scientific world, archaeology, they actually found evidence of a worldwide deluge that covered the whole world. They actually can prove there was a flood that covered the highest mountain peaks. They found shale rock on the highest mountain peaks, which you can't do. So by that same word, Brother Peter tells us, the Lord's going to come back and burn this place to a crisp one day, in someone's lifetime. Not today, not tomorrow, but in someone's lifetime, just like the flood. Just think, imagine he preached for 10 years, nothing. They said, oh, nothing happened. 20 years, nothing happened. 30, oh, he's crazy. Him and his sons are building this boat. 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years. This guy's still building a boat. He must have lost his mind. 80 years, 90 years. Then 100 years in someone's lifetime, whoever was alive at that time, the heavens opened up, that firmament that was where the water was, and the foundations of the deep broke open, and the whole place was drowned in someone's lifetime. I know it sounds like make-believe, but those people right there can show you. I mean, they can't show you anymore, but if you were able to talk to one of them, they would say, yeah, it happened in my lifetime. I heard it for years. Just like Yeshua says, he's coming back in flaming fire, take vengeance on them that know not God and those that obey not the gospel of Yeshua. It's going to be a scary day in someone's lifetime, but not today. There's still hope today to get it straight. Abraham, when he was called to go out, he went out into a place that he should receive for an inheritance. He obeyed, and he went out not knowing where he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. And you have to be like this. You have to look with a spiritual eye for a city and a foundation whose builder and maker is God. So you have to keep your eye on the spiritual city. Through faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. And then, of course, even though I know in the scholastic world, in academia, there's a little controversy who wrote the letter of Hebrews, but for this sake, let's say it was Paul. He says, therefore, sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. That's a lot. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but have seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them. And they confessed, which I confess today, we're just strangers and pilgrims on this earth. Now, unfortunately, they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And I say that too. But truly, if they took their mind off God and they were mindful of that country from whence they came out, in other words, the earthly country, you know, unfortunately, they might have had an opportunity to return. But now they really desire a better country, that is a heavenly one, whereof God is not ashamed to be called their God. He's prepared for you a city. What do you think of that? If you ever want to know where the tree of life is, it's in the New Jerusalem, and I could prove that to you by scripture. You can't go search for it on this earth anymore. The tree of life. Adam and Hava, her name is Hava. I know everybody calls her Eve, but they ate of the wrong tree because Satan did the wrong promotion. Satan promoted the tree of good and evil, right? He wanted them to know about sin. But the tree of life was right there too. That's to show you what marketing does and false advertisement. misinformation, disinformation, learning the wrong thing. You could actually be tricked into the wrong thing. Abraham, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac, and he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, just like Messiah, just like God the Father, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So, gosh, Abraham had faith enough to account that God was able to raise him up even from the dead if he killed him, from whence he received him in a figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed both the sons of Joseph, worshipped leaning upon the top of his staff. Joseph, when he died,